The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, May 8th, 2025. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, Homeless Encampment to be Disbanded. Access is needed in the area for critical sewer projects. By Matus Janik. Normal. The homeless encampment near Sugar Creek off of South Center Street in South Normal will be disbanded by June 1st for two significant sewer projects. Multiple parcels owned by the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District, located adjacent to Sugar Creek and the encampment, encase critical sewer infrastructure that moves sewage from urban areas to the wastewater treatment facility on Oakland Avenue. Tim Irvin, executive director of BNWRD, said segments of these sewers were installed in the early 1900s and are in dire need of rehabilitation. Efforts continue to modernize sewer infrastructure to comply with new phosphorus removal water quality standards, replace aging infrastructure, and enhance treatment capacity within sewer interceptors and wastewater treatment facilities, Irvin said. The first project involves the Kelsey Street Interceptor Sewer, which was built in the early 1900s and will undergo cleaning, repair, and installation of a cured-in-place pipe for approximately 2,400 linear feet of a 33-inch brick sewer. This method repairs the existing brick sewer by inserting and running a resin lining into the pipe that will cure and form a new pipeline. Irvin said part of this project may involve the replacement of sewer infrastructure near the encampment. The work is estimated to cost $800,000. The second project involves the ending of the active combined sewer overflow near U.S. Route 51 and along the banks of Sugar Creek, adjacent to the encampment. The combined sewer overflow allows excess water to be discharged directly to the creek during heavy rain events to help mitigate potential sewer backups. Irvin said over the year, Bloomington Normal and BNWRD have been upgrading infrastructure to eliminate the combined sewer overflows in the sewer system. A 2023 study recommended an approach to increase the flow capacity in the sewer infrastructure located in the area surrounding the encampment, Irvin said. The first phase of the project will increase the sewer conveyance capacity by replacing the current sewer infrastructure with larger piping under the adjacent railroad tracks. The overall cost for the first phase costs $3,250,000. Irvin said he has been working for several months with the town and with Matt Burgess, Chief Executive Officer at Home Sweet Home Ministries, to figure out different locations to house individuals at the encampment before proceeding with any of the necessary infrastructure improvements. But nothing has been decided yet. It's one of those things where we don't want to go in and force them off immediately because there's no place for them to go, Irvin said. Burgess said the dispersal of the encampment is just another indication of the need for something more permanent to be built, specifically to bring people indoors and help transition them into stable housing. Until we have a project like the bridge up and running in the community, we're going to continue to have encampments pop up here and there, and they will continue to be disrupted, Burgess said. all of that chaos and transition that people who are already in a tough spot will be perpetuated and makes it virtually impossible for them to make forward progress. The Bridge is Home Sweet Home Ministries' plan for a 56-bed shelter village for the local homeless population that could begin construction next month. It is proposed to be built on the corner of Oakland Avenue and Main Street on property currently owned by Connect Transit in Bloomington, as previously reported by the Pantograph on May 3rd. The shelter model is planned as a gated community with single and double occupancy units, all with electricity and climate controlled. These 80 to 100 square foot units would come furnished with a bed, desk, and dresser space. In the center of the community, there would be a clubhouse with full bathrooms and shower facilities. The project's capital costs are about $2.65 million, which would be paid for through a combination of private fundraising and a tentative grant offered by McLean County. Operating costs are estimated at $700,000 per year. As far as relocation for individuals in the encampment on South Center Street, Burgess said he and others are continuing to meet to discuss possibilities, but an alternate location has not been decided yet. Despite our attempts to get clarity on that, that just doesn't exist right now, he said. Burgess added shelter leaders have been talking with city and town leaders and have more meetings set up with a couple of different stakeholders in the community this month to figure out a location. In the meantime, a cleanup day is planned at the homeless encampment near Sugar Creek in South Normal. The cleanup day will be from 9 a.m. to noon Saturday, hosted by the Ecology Action Center in partnership with Home Sweet Home Ministries. Visit ecologyactioncenter.org to learn more about the volunteer opportunity. The next local story is entitled, Students Graduate Truck Driver Training, by Matthew Stranick. Normal. Students from Olympia and Ridgeview High Schools have graduated from a truck driver training course offered through Heartland Community College to help fill the gap for in-demand jobs. The first cohorts of Bloomington Area Career Center students finished their 8-week course this spring through Heartland's Continuing Education Program and the Nussbaum Truck Driver Training Academy. Xander Burke of Ridgeview and Jackson Brossmore and Chase Ragar of Olympia successfully completed the program to attain a Class A Commercial Driver's License, CDL. In 2021, Heartland entered into an agreement with Nussbaum Transportation to form the Nussbaum Trucking Academy at the college, according to a news release from the college. Heartland's continuing education program provides advising and orientation, maintains student records, ensures curriculum and instructional efficacy, and offers essential workplace skills, while Nussbaum provides instructors, creates class schedules, and oversees training, trucks, and fuel. Nussbaum Truck Academy is a cohort-based model where students gain 160 hours of preparation for obtaining a Class A CDL. The coursework includes 40 hours of classroom instruction and 120 hours of behind-the-wheel training to test for a restricted license. An optional additional week is offered for those wanting to test for an unrestricted license. Heartland offers both 4-week and 8-week programs for truck driver training. The program is supported by a scholarship from the McLean DeWitt Regional Vocational System, where students can receive funds to attend truck driver training. No previous experience is required, but students must have a current driver's license issued by the state, be 18 years or older, and complete and pass the Department of Transportation physical and drug screening. And next up is a business story with local application headlined, Rivian Braces for Tariff Impact. Company Adjusts 2025 Expectations by Zachary Hansen, The Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Rivian executives adjusted their expectations for 2025 because of the fast-changing tariff environment, advising Wall Street that the automaker will likely deliver fewer vehicles this year. Leaders of the electric vehicle startup, however, said they remain unshaken by new threats from President Donald Trump's administration to revoke an approved federal construction loan for a planned $5 billion factory in Georgia. Rivian currently manufactures all of its distinctive electric pickup trucks, SUVs, and commercial delivery vans in Normal, where the company announced earlier this week that it would invest $120 million in an expansion to host its suppliers. R.J. Scaringe, CEO of California-based Rivian, told investors Tuesday that the automaker is bracing for new tariffs levied by Trump to increase production costs by a few thousand dollars per vehicle. Those expectations prompted Rivian to increase its projected expenditures for the year by $100 million and cut its projection for how many EVs it will deliver to customers. We are not immune to the impacts of the global trade and economic situation, which we expect to impact material costs, material availability, capital expenditures, and the demand backdrop, Scaringe said on an investor call discussing Rivian's first quarter financials. The automaker expects to deliver 40,000 to 46,000 EVs during 2025, a decrease from the 46,000 to 51,000 units Rivian projected at the beginning of the year. During the first quarter, the automaker delivered 8,640 EVs and produced 14,611 vehicles at its sole factory in Normal, Illinois. No mention of loan for Georgia plant. Tariffs dominated the earnings call, but the automaker's leaders never broached the subject of the company's Georgia-focused construction loan. The Department of Energy's Loan Programs Office and Rivian finalized terms on a $6.6 billion loan in the waning days of the Biden administration to help the company build a factory an hour east of Atlanta. Trump and his allies criticized the loan alongside other construction financing greenlit for clean energy projects. U.S. Energy Secretary Chris Wright told Bloomberg Television on Friday that his agency plans to withhold $400 billion of loans approved for those projects, which would include the Rivian construction loan. But in a letter to shareholders, Rivian listed the loan on its balance sheet, saying it will assist with the build-out of our Georgia facility. On Monday, Rivian's spokesperson Peebles Squire seemed unconcerned when asked by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about the loan status. Rivian is laser-focused on bringing back American manufacturing, creating 7,500 jobs and new economic opportunities with our future Georgia facility, he said. Company looks to strategic sourcing. Despite all of Rivian's vehicles being built in the U.S., The widespread economic disruption spurred by the Trump administration's tariff campaign rippled through the company's 2025 expectations. Scaringe said Rivian currently sources its EV battery cells from South Korea through LG, adding that the company has stockpiled enough cells to last through early 2026. By early 2027, Rivian expects to shift that supply chain to Arizona-made battery cells. Claire McDonough, Rivian's chief financial officer, said other material costs could increase because of tariffs, regardless of their country of origin. She also warned that trade restrictions on the minerals used in EV batteries from China could disrupt production across the industry. "We're also monitoring potential impacts on our production due to the export restrictions on rare earth materials coming from China," she said. "We're actively monitoring these developments and looking to mitigate potential risks through a variety of initiatives, including strategic sourcing and proactive engagement with policymakers." During the first quarter, Rivian posted total revenue of $1.2 billion, a 3% increase from the same time last year. The automaker also trimmed its losses to $541 million, a 63% decrease from the same time last year. The automaker also had nearly $7.2 billion in cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments at the end of March, roughly $600 million less than a year ago. Rivian leaders said those reserves will be leveraged to provide the company time to become profitable and help finance its Georgia factory. The company has said it plans to begin construction of the factory next year, with EV production starting there in 2028. Rivian added that it met financial milestones that unlock an expected $1 billion investment through the company's partnership with Volkswagen Group. The two automakers finalized a joint venture last year worth up to $5.8 billion. Rivian said it expects to receive the $1 billion investment at the end of June. The next local story is entitled, "Hopedale Medical Foundation Awards Scholarships." Hopedale. The Hopedale Medical Foundation recently announced its 2025 scholarship winners. Candidate selections were made by an independent panel of judges who reviewed applications from local students. The foundation has awarded more than $625,000 to area students pursuing higher education in agriculture and healthcare since 1980, according to a news release. The following students were chosen to receive scholarships this spring. Sydney Beavers of Olympia High School was honored with the $1,000 David Eckhart Memorial Scholarship in honor of a dedicated Hopedale Medical Complex employee who died in 1974. Beavers is the daughter of Laura and Mike Beavers, and she plans to attend the University of Kentucky to become a physical therapist. Grace Berkey of Olympia High School was awarded the $1,000 Neil Alford Jr. Agricultural Memorial Scholarship in honor of Hopedale's former mayor and HMC board member. She is the daughter of Scott and Carol Berkey of Hopedale and plans to study ag business at the University of Illinois. Miley Harper of Delavan High School was the recipient of the $1,000 Orville Augsburger Doreen Oler Scholarship. She is the daughter of Jason and Stacy Harper. She will attend Olivet Nazarene University and plans to become a social worker. Aspen Kirschmeyer of Tremont High School received the $2,000 Donner Bittner Springer Nursing Scholarship in honor of the first director of nurses at Hopedale Hospital. Kirschmeyer is the daughter of Rachel Holbrook, and she plans to pursue an associate degree in nursing from Illinois Central College. Remy Kraft of Midwest Central High School received the $1,000 Phyllis Martin Nursing Scholarship, which honors longtime HMC nurse. Kraft is the daughter of Danny and Jennifer Kraft. She plans to pursue a nursing career at Illinois Central College this fall. Bryce Meyer of Illinois Central College was given the $3,000 Candace Blackert Nursing Scholarship. He is the son of Aaron and Wyatt Meyer and is studying to become a registered nurse. McKinz Ullman of Tremont High School was given the $2,000 John Rossi Memorial Nursing Scholarship. Ullman is the daughter of Gretchen and Nick Ullman of Tremont, and she plans to study in the nursing program at Illinois State University. Chris Wilson of Illinois Wesleyan University was awarded the $5,000 Michelle Ann Rossi Memorial Nursing Scholarship. Wilson is the son of Troy and Tammy Wilson of Forest City. He is a certified nursing assistant at HMC and pursuing a bachelor's degree in nursing. Grace Yance of Peoria Notre Dame High School was the recipient of the $3,000 Founders Scholarship in honor of HMC's founder, Dr. Lawrence Rossi Sr. Yance of Delavan is the daughter of Steve and Patricia Yance and plans to attend the pre-med program at the University of Illinois or Notre Dame University in the fall. And here's a story headlined, New Movie Theater to Open. Theater will be in the former Ovation Cinema Grill by Robin Gauchy Skaggs. Bloomington. A new movie theater is set to open this summer in the former Ovation Cinema Grill on the southeast side of Bloomington. Golden Ticket Cinema's Ale House is renovating the theater at 415 Detroit Drive to include recliner seating, a 30-tap self-pour beer wall, an expanded food and beverage menu with the option for moviegoers to have items delivered directly to their seats, upgraded sound and projection systems, and all-you-can-eat popcorn, according to a news release. Work also is underway on new decor and signage, the news release said. We're excited to bring a fresh, premium movie experience back to the Bloomington community, stated Joe Horton, Director of Media Relations at Golden Ticket Cinemas. This remodel is about more than movies. It's about creating a place to relax, connect, and enjoy the magic of cinema like never before. A new generation of moviegoing for a new generation of moviegoers. The Pantograph previously reported that Ovation Cinema Grill closed at the start of the pandemic in 2020 and never reopened after its parent company, New Vision Theaters, filed for bankruptcy later that year. The site was sold in August 2023. The location had first opened in 1999 as Carmike Cinemas. It was renovated in 2015 and renamed Ovation Cinemas, and then later New Vision Theaters Ovation Cinema Grill. For more information on Golden Ticket Cinemas Ale House, go to gtcinemas.com, and follow the theater on Facebook at facebook.com/GTC Alehouse Bloom. And here is a picture story from the front page of today's Pantograph entitled Flowers for Mom. Bloomington Kiwanis Flower Sale ongoing at Shops at College Hills. And the picture shows Villas of Hollybrook's Katie Gadberry helping Nancy Clark shop on Wednesday, May 7th during the Bloomington Kiwanis Mother's Day Flower Sale at the Shops at College Hills in Normal. The sale continues from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. Items for sale were provided by Wendell Niepagan Greenhouses and Danville Gardens, and include annuals, herbs, vegetable garden plants, hanging and potted plants, and more. Proceeds from the sale will help local children attend Camp Limberlost at Timber Point Camp at Lake Bloomington. And here's an item entitled Pavement Repairs Set to Finish by Matus Janik. Normal. Multiple normal lane reductions that went into effect on Monday for pavement repairs are now expected to be completed by 3 p.m. Thursday, weather permitting. The lane reductions include Old Route 66 from Towanda Avenue to the off-ramp at Veterans Parkway, Airport Road from Old Route 66 to Robb Road, North Towanda Avenue from Beach Street to Shelburne Drive, North Linden Street from Robb Road to Northtown Road, Henry Street from Pine Street to Tegan Street, and Pipeline Road from Northtown Road to Zebarth Road. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for May 8th. Please stay tuned.